we're going to stay with the Dallas Mavericks and the rippling effect of the Sports Illustrated article suggesting there was a culture of sexual harassment at the Mavericks that extended over a period of years. Now, Mike, the article was based on several ex-employees of the Mavericks.
Mm-hmm.
I did not see any suggestion in the article that any current employees of the Mavericks were part of it.
No, that's a good point. It seems like they were all passed, even a few years ago.
I mean, the two that were fired that night, I guess, are now passed, but...
Yep.
They were...
But they weren't...
On Monday employees.
Right, but they weren't victims quoted. I think that's what you're...
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And, now there's... Sorry. There's a rumor, there's thought circulating that that could cost the Mavericks their first-round draft pick this year.
Yeah.
Mike, I can't believe an investigation this enormous, with all the people there are to talk to, gets wrapped up by May? I can't imagine
I wouldn't imagine that either. So what, we're hoping it just takes long enough to apply to next year's draft pick? If that's the direction they're going to go, which is less than 50%, I think. But, man, that seems like a shocking response to what is a shocking story. And I would not be surprised if they utilize that axe.
Well, we'll see. Why don't we talk legal aspects of it? And to do that, we have a guest and a friend. Joining us on the Bob Steak and Chop House Hotline is Roggy Dunn, a partner in Klaus Dunn. He's a fifth-generation Texan, annually amongst the top lawyers in Dallas. He specializes in commercial litigation and employment law management, and he's one of only 35 people in Texas certified to both do civil trial law and labor and employment law. Morning, Roggy. How you doing this morning?
Good morning, Norm. How are you guys?
Doing great. Doing great. Mike Saroy joins me.
Hi, Roggy.
Hey, Mike.
Let's jump right into this. From a Mark Cuban standpoint, who will be the center of this whole thing, what's the biggest potential danger as far as exposure to Cuban himself?
Well, there's the legal exposure, which may be less than the reputational risk and the risk of the NBA coming in. The legal exposure is if there are people that are still there that have been harassed or subject to a toxic culture, then they could bring a cause of action against the Mavericks. And potentially if Cuban was involved personally and there was some type of touching or grabbing, then potentially a cause of action against him individually.
How much danger is Mark in if it's found that he participated potentially in any attempt to cover up some of these things?
Well, I think the biggest exposure there is reputational risk and risk with the NBA. America, and I think the leagues are generally more forgiving if you admit your mistake, you're truly sorry, and you take action to make it right. And I think Cuban is doing the right thing now, or at least he's saying the right things. However, if it turns out that he's not telling the truth, and Cuban did know, and he's not telling the truth about not knowing, then I think he could be in a world of hurt. And that's a situation where the NBA might say, you weren't straight up with the public, you weren't straight up with us, and accordingly we're going to lower the hammer in the terms of losing draft picks.
So if they're trying to determine what Cuban knew and when he knew it, let's assume that he, because he's famous for having an open email that anyone can send emails to, and he allegedly receives them all. So if he received an email, and it's proven, like one of the accusers show a number of emails that they did send to Mark Cuban, there are no responses to them. Is he legally, is that binding that he received this information, or is that, that's got to be quite a gray area?
Well, first of all, you can prove that even without the accuser coming forward with the email. And if it's a former employee, they probably didn't save their emails. But an IT expert can come in and look generally, and it's very difficult to permanently delete an email and find out if there were such emails. Cuban could say, and also the IT people can tell if you opened it.
Mm-hmm.
So unless Cuban says, well, somebody was in the middle of the night opening my emails, then he certainly opened it. And I think that would say that he was on notice. Certainly he should have been on notice if that's the case.
This is Roggie Dunn, a partner in Klaus Dunn, joining us to talk about the legal aspects of the situation Mavericks find themselves in, being accused of having a culture of sexual harassment. Roggie, let me go to the civil area with you. If something happened in 04 or 99, that's beyond the statute of limitations, correct?
You're exactly right.
Now, let me ask about a gray area legally. If somehow it can be shown that this is an ongoing culture of bad behavior, can events that far back be brought into the present and still taken into a courtroom?
Generally not. If somebody was underage or they were suffering under a disability, the law will extend the statute of limitations. But for former employees, there's a pretty hard statute of limitations of 2 years for assault, battery, unwanted touching, and for sexual harassment or a discriminatory environment, you have to file with the EEOC within 300 days of the last harassment, and then you've got 2 years to file. So I don't think that former employees are going to have much of a case legally. Current employees, that you know, their time hadn't even started running yet.
Yeah, if there are any. Let me go to the man who is the center of the story, and that's the former president of the Mavericks, Terdema Usri, who left in 2015. In his statements regarding the article, he suggested that he had actually brought forth information about problems like this, and that the, quote, organization did not pursue them. What's the situation here regarding Usri and his potential testimony against the Mavericks?
Well, first of all, that would be Cuban's worst nightmare, is that Usri says, I told Mark about it specifically, and he said, sweep it under the rug. The other thing that I find laughable, and I think Mr. Sefko wrote on that just today, is you say the organization didn't take it seriously. Well, Mr. Usri, you're the CEO of the organization. I mean, you're kind of pointing your finger at yourself when you do that, Mr. Usri.
Mm-hmm. Isn't he? I mean, there was only, to my knowledge, on the corporate depth chart of the Mavericks, there's only one man above Mr. Usri.
Correct.
Have you ever seen a case where it is like that? Where, I mean, I imagine sexual harassment is fairly prevalent in a lot of work environments, but where it's seemingly protected by the second in command?
Yeah, Mike, that's a great point. And yes, I've seen everything that you can imagine and then some. And the bottom line is, do the executives at the top take this seriously? And one thing that I think is that the culture hasn't gone away is that if you allow that culture to exist, it becomes the norm. And people think, well, I can get away with it, or they think, hey, it's just a joke. Nobody's upset about this, and the women in this case keep quiet, keep their heads down because they don't want to put their job at risk. So if the environment is this Animal House environment was as described, I just don't think it quit when Usri left. I mean, I don't think it's just going to be one guy. That's my take on what, when we normally look at this, either you got a clean house or you got a dirty house, and the leadership or lack thereof flows down and creates a culture.
Roggie, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you. And I'll bet you in the background that's a phone ringing with another client.
All right. Thanks, Norman, Mike. Appreciate it.
See you, Roggie.